That was wonderful worship today. Thank you, praise team, very much, and all of the extra stuff that went with it as well. A lot of fun, a lot of fun. I love history stuff and came across a story in preparation for the message this week. There is a monument, and it's actually a bridge in a New Orleans cemetery that has created some real interest. On July 4th, 1898, there was a French steamer called the La Bourgogne, B-O-U-R-G-O-G-N-E. Help me out. La Bourgogne. It's got to be something like that. Anyway, French steamer, La B. It collided. It collided with a British boat. It was an iron sailing ship that was the Cromida Shire. And there was a dense fog off Newfoundland Banks. There was 550 souls that were lost, that perished during that accident that morning. Among those that were lost at sea was a mother and a daughter. Pauline and Angelie Langlies were among those who died. They were actually the sole survivors of a very large estate. And there was a lengthy legal dispute that commenced and took some while to work out over the question of whose name the estate should be administered under. You see, they didn't know who died first or whether they died simultaneously. But the Louisiana Supreme Court actually decided that the estate should be decided in the name of the fragile, unhealthy daughter, reckoning in their reasoning that she would have gone down last because the mother would have held her in a place of safety until she could no longer do so. So the monument is in the daughter's name. It's a wonderful tribute to a mother's love. There certainly is no more influential or powerful role on earth than a mother. As significant as political, military, educational, or even religious people and public figures may be, there are none that shape our lives that make a bigger impact than mom. Their words are never forgotten. Their touch leaves an indelible impression. The memory of their presence indeed lasts a lifetime. Who on earth is anywhere near that influential? Now, if you have been blessed with a good mother, you will reap the benefits all your days. If maybe, unfortunately, your mother neglected your needs or failed you somehow in your youth or even into your adulthood, unfortunately, there's a lot that cannot be erased, but by God's grace certainly can be overcome. So what I'm saying is, for good or for ill, a mother's mark is permanent. Abraham Lincoln was right. No man is poor who had a godly mother. Now, I could stand up here and point out everything that the world says is wrong with motherhood today. I could camp out on the negative and emphasize how many mothers have drifted from the magnificent calling to shape the future of their children and our world. But I actually today want to speak about what is right with mothers. You see, I am not surprised at all to see that our society puts down the role of motherhood. Since when did society ever pull for the highest ideals? And I really don't care what the world is saying. I still believe, in fact, God's word confirms that the mother's role is the most dignified, the most influential, and the most rewarding in all the world. Now, I know that my dictionary and your dictionary spells mother, M-O-T-H-E-R, but if we read between the lines, we actually know that mother is spelled L-O-V-E. And I'd like to amplify several aspects of a mother's love today and hold and look to the pattern of God's word to see how this love is expressed. But first of all, since it is Mother's Day, I want to say Happy Mother's Day to my mother, who is here, who on her birthday in 1961, at 21 years old, gave birth to her firstborn, Robert Nathaniel Renberg, the Jr., and they called me Bobby. I just found out. I thought I was Robbie all those years, but the first couple of years, I was Bobby. And we certainly had a wonderful life growing up, and my sister and I just reaped the benefits of you, Mom, and we so appreciate that. And as I prepare and Amy prepare now to give away our son to another woman to love and to hold, we know how hard that must have been, but Amy won you over. And even though the style of the 80s was terrible, you still loved us. And now just think, you know, to be able to enjoy, Mom, to the fourth generation, your great-grandchildren. Number five here, Olivia, just a year ago was born and having the joy. You know, Mom, you've always been so beautiful, and you just make it look so effortless. And I don't know how in the world you ever pulled it off to be so beautiful. And oh, goodness, I didn't mean for that to be up there. I'm so sorry, Mom. I'm sorry about that. You don't know where I got that one, did you? You know what I love about this picture? Look at the lady in the background. She's terrified that a picture's being taken of her. No! All right, take out your bulletins if you want to take some sermon notes and follow along here. Of course, we're looking at L-O-V-E, and the L of love means we're going to say that a godly mother leans on her God. Now, Paul said to his mentee, his young preacher man, Timothy, he said in a letter, the second letter he wrote to him, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. It's a faith that was first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. Here's a brief picture into life and character of Timothy's mother and grandmother. It shows us the importance of a deep and abiding faith in the Lord. The word that's spoken of here is sincere. It's a very interesting word. If I were to translate it literally, letter for letter, from the Greek letters to the English, it would say unhypocritical. That's the meaning of this word. And the word hypokros has the idea of being something that the sun can shine through. So it doesn't have a it doesn't have a mark on it, and that's the idea. And you know, all of our children and grandchildren need to see modeled for them a sincere, real faith through God, thick and thin, and allow God to show us whether it's good or bad, whether it's sickness and in health, prosperity in lean times. Of course, I'm a little reflective here this morning, being Mother's Day, but when my dad quit his job as a public school teacher and counselor, and sold everything that they had accumulated over the years in the mid-70s, all the apartments and the rental units, and sold all of that to put a down payment on a ranch, 180-acre ranch in the middle of the mountains, Leavenworth, Washington, to fulfill and work toward his dream of providing a place for young men who had been in trouble in the law to come and to help guide them to a wholesome new life. And of course, that place some of you are aware of is Alpine Boys Ranch, because Berean Church downtown with Pastor Jim Carlson was the very first church that my dad ever came and shared the ministry and vision of the Alpine Boys Ranch with, back in, we think, 1976, 1977, right in that time frame. But you know what's interesting? We had nothing, because my dad sold everything. So we moved from a really nice house with a swimming pool to an old farmhouse, and I used to get clothes to wear to school from bags that people would donate for the boys, and that's where I received my clothing the rest of my high school years. And we also were blessed by Christian businessmen who had stores, grocery stores, in Leavenworth and in Plain that would set aside old dented cans or out-of-date bread and things like that, and they would give to us to be able to help support the vision and the ministry that we had. Now, I have to be honest with you, Mom. It must have been. I can only imagine, and you might not say this, but it had to be difficult for you to take us down to that grocery store and get those boxes and go into the back room and fill those boxes up. And then, you know, think of how we felt walking out the store with everybody looking at us. You were pretty happy, I'm sure. I don't know that we were all that, but I can remember on several occasions questioning you when I would see the date on a can or a dent on something and wonder, is this okay for us to eat? And I'll never forget what you said, Mom, to you and to Vicky, to me and to Vicky. You said, I prayed over this food, and I have asked God not to allow us to eat anything that would make us sick. And you know what? We never did we? We never ate one thing. Now, sometimes I remember pouring a can out, and it was pretty ugly, so we didn't eat it. We just threw that in the garbage because, you know, but we didn't get sick. But I learned, folks. I learned what it was like firsthand to see a mother lean on her God for her family. I've seen it as a family with single moms struggling paycheck to paycheck, wondering how they're going to provide while their cruel ex-husbands are living high on the hog and neglecting their responsibilities to their families. I tell you what, those women are an inspiration to me, a testimony of their dependence upon God. I hope that we understand by their leaning on God, that puts some mantle of responsibility on us as the church to help and to come alongside those who are wrestling and struggling. And we would like to know how we can do that. So if you're aware of situations, let us know so that we can be part of helping her lean on God. That's not an easy task, is it, moms, grandmas? It's not. Doubts come. Fears assail, life still hurts, but there is no greater joy than to see our children learn from those times of total dependence upon the Lord as a pattern for their tender faith. And when it comes to being a good mom, we all know that there's no guarantees. You just do your best with your children, you leave the rest with God. That's the only way to keep balance and perspective on life. All right, so L is leans on our God, O is orchestrates her home. Proverbs 31, if you'd like to turn there, we're going to be looking at that in just a moment. This passage speaks volumes of the godly mother and woman, but as we look at it today, let's keep in mind here, okay? We're not talking about the perfect woman as we read through this. The woman that is being written of here, from a son's perspective, has all the accolades that a son would bestow upon his mother. But it also has the measure of truth in what he sees and how she does what she does. There is no such thing as a perfect mother for real. Now, as we read this, don't be thinking, ladies, that you don't measure up. I pray that you could read between the lines with maybe a modern twist. Celebrating motherhood, you know, as a boy is bragging on his mom here. So she becomes a pattern and example of all the things that you do as a mother, not judging your performance, but for recognizing the value and importance of your home. So we see, beginning with verse 10 in Proverbs 31, an excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax. She goes to the store, in other words, and works with willing hands. She's like the ship of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is still yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her heart to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's involved in ministry, is what this is saying. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her children are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Way to go, son. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. So here we have this woman who does so much in her home. Now, I know when in our home, when our family was younger, we didn't have a lot of rules. But one of them, my kids just let out a gasp, was that one of the rules that we had was that Amy was not allowed to get sick, all right? It's just flat-out rule, okay? Once in a while, she broke that rule and got ill, but we all had to pitch in. We all had to help out. We went into survival mode. You know what that is, right? I might add, now that we're empty nesters, illness is strictly forbidden, all right? After 33 years, I know how much she does around the house, so I've laid down the law. Sickness is not allowed. Yeah, you're shaking your heads. You know. I will be the first one to tell you, though, that Amy is the queen of our house. She is the orchestrator. She is the symphonator. She keeps everything moving in the right direction. The calendar, all the home stuff, organizing, the cleaning, everything that I love about coming home at the end of a long, hard day at work, she embodies for me, and I love her so much, not just for that, but appreciate that. And I have come to depend. See, I can talk about her because she's not here. She's doing children's church, so I can do this and not pay her a buck, as sometimes I have to. But it has been really fun to transition to grandparenting. That's been a new challenge for us. We certainly miss our kids that have moved to Arizona with the four grandchildren. We've been spending a lot more time with our one-year-old, Olivia, who's down in Holland, and we go down and see, and she comes up to see us, and that's been a lot of fun. But one of our greatest joys is how our married daughters have sacrificed in this season of their lives of children to stay at home and live on the husband's income. You know, I came across a story of a woman who got tired of being asked if she had a real job because she was a stay-at-home mom. So she began to tell people that she was a certified research executive in the field of child development and human relations. I love that. When somebody asked what she did all day in her field, she replied that she had a continuing program of research in the laboratory and in the field. She was working for her advanced degrees and already had 4 credits. And, of course, the job is one of the most demanding in the humanities, and she often works 14 to 16 plus hours a day. She told people that she had 3 lab assistants and was testing out a new experimental model that was still in the child development program. Now, people didn't have to know that they were 13, 7, 3, and 6 months. That's great, though. I just love this. Motherhood is a glorious career, especially when there's a title on the door, right? Now, I wonder, does that make grandmothers senior research assistants? Perhaps grandmothers, great-grandmothers, supervisory senior research consultants? That would be a good one. Maybe it makes aunts associate developmental aides. Whatever we do, we're going to make sure you have it. Now, you know, I can remember going back a little ways in the midst of a presidential campaign, an opponent said that Mitt Romney's wife, Ann, had never worked a day in her life because she had been a stay-at-home mom. I thought that was so in poor taste. It was mean-spirited, and it certainly is not true, because no matter how the world tries to tell you that you don't need your home to make you happy and fulfilled, nobody can take your place, and your home needs your presence. So find a way. All I'm saying is to make your home a priority. You know, in America today, that 2 out of every 3 mothers holds a full or a part-time job? It's the reality of the day in which we live. At least 50, perhaps even more, are full-time. Now, I've said it often. My heart goes out, my hat is off to women who have to work. So whatever choices are made regarding your family and outside work, find the ways to make your family the priority. With both the quality and the quantity time as possible, your value cannot be underestimated. Paul again tells Timothy, younger women should marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. I would simply point out, as a point of reference, God's design for the order of how this is to take place too, by the way. marry first, then have babies, and then go on from there. I'm just telling you, that's the way God said it here. But there is no higher calling than to be a mother and, if possible, a homemaker. The Proverbs 31 woman shows us she was a hard worker. She had a business. In fact, she had several businesses going. It doesn't have to be one or the other. There's a lot of working moms that have found the balance, and that's great. But we need to support all moms in whatever situation they are in. Truth be told, if at all possible, studies also say that a strong majority of mothers don't want to be working full-time. But whatever it is, do it as unto the Lord for the right reasons. I would say this, if your heart is in your home, be willing to have that conversation, how you can supplement, how you can help, how your husband can help, how the children can all be part of it in a season of life that you'll never get back when your kids are at home. So we have leans on her God, orchestrates her home. The V is that a godly mother verifies her love. Verifies her love. To the Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul wrote in chapter 2, speaking of his own ministry to them, he said, "We were gentle among you," and I love this picture, "like a nursing mother taking care of her own children." So he says, "Affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own selves." Isn't that what a mom does? Shares her own self because you had become very dear to us. The picture here of a nursing mother, it evokes the deepest emotional tie that is possible between a mother and a child, providing the nurture, the warmth, the protection, and the very nectar of her breast to care for and to nourish her child. This expression of love is so evident that at the time it was very valuable and people knew it, and certainly it doesn't fade. This picture has the highest good of the other person in mind, doesn't it? It's a selfless love. It's love when it hurts. It's love when it's not convenient. It's love when you're weary. It's love when it means discipline. It's love when it means sticking with the task and you don't feel like doing it. You just keep plugging away and get it done. You know, sometimes our young moms come to church and they look a little, well, their hair's got a weird shape. It wasn't like that when they left the house, but somehow it got messed up. Or there's a nice chocolate handprint on a pretty white dress that they don't even realize is there. They're holding a baby who's crying, perhaps. They're wants to get down. Another one doesn't want to go. So I think, may God give those mothers grace and strength and please, Lord, lots of patience right now. There are times that mothering wears thin, isn't it? But you continue to give and you verify your love. Chuck Swindoll told of a Mother's Day card that he found with his kids while he was shopping for his mom. It was a great big card. It was written in the block letters, you know, of a first grader. There's a picture of a six-year-old boy. His hat was off sideways, and he was all dirty. Pants were ripped, and of course, obviously, he'd been playing around dirt, and toys were everywhere. There's a Band-Aid that was half off, and there's smudges on the card. We're just talking typical six-year-old. And on the front of it, it said, "Mom, I remember that little prayer that you used to pray for me every day." And then you open it up. "Would God help you if you ever do that again?" You know, isn't that true? Sometimes a mom gets so exasperated that she just can't express herself any other way. Let me tell you, when you verify your love, your love comes through when you hurt, when we hurt, when you listen, when we talk, when you hear what we don't say. It comes through when you do what has to be done. It comes through when we complain, but you know that it's best. It comes through when you're being a mother. You're mighty. Let's watch a clip that expresses this in a powerful way. Mighty.
There are those who say that this is ordinary, but don't let that fool you. Mother will always be the bravest, least ordinary, most difficult, utterly challenging career that anyone ever hopes to lay claim to. While others might hear diaper changer, food maker, laundry doer, carpooler, bottle washer, sweatpants wearer, life on hold, wanna be doing anything else, woman. The truth is, whether it feels like it some days or not, you are in fact a shelter from the storm. You are a cape of good hope. You are a warrior who will do battle for your children's hearts, souls, attention, innocence, education, and memories. Go to battle, my friends. This is your time. We will hold strong on either side of you. We will pray for those bottles through the dark watches of the night. And when doubt comes and children break, when adults fail them, and when they push and push as hard against us as the day we deliver them into this world, we will not be broken. We may ache and see cracks tear through our hearts, but we will get up again tomorrow, and we will load the clothes and the words that need to be said again and again and again. And when the world tries to claw at them, to break them, to smash the beauty in them, may our walls hold true. May the lessons we've told, the truths we've lived, the life we've spoken into them come back easily, predictably, with wash and repeat ease. Kingdom business, Jesus work, this shaping of souls, this raising tiny humans. There are those that say this is ordinary. Don't buy it for a second. Mighty. You are mighty because you, Mother.
Look, carefully kept mothers don't have secure kids. Carefully kept, untouchable, velveteen mothers turn out fragile, selfish, untouchable children. But unselfish, giving, secure moms somehow manage to deposit healthy, wholesome kids into our lonely, frightened society. Do you agree with me by saying amen?
Amen.
Amen. We need you. All right, finally, a mother encourages her family. E. The prophet Isaiah is very interesting, had some things to say. Rejoice with Jerusalem that you may nurse and be satisfied with her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. This is God speaking here. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Once again, in Scripture, we see the picture of the nursing mother. But this time, the future is in view as God is dealing with his children. The word encourage here, it has several shades of meaning, ranging from comfort to challenging. They all are included in this. So I want to focus on the challenge aspect of our moms that they so often excel at. There is nothing harder as our children get older and they launch into teenage years or into adulthood and beyond to the saying goes, you know, clip those apron strings till finally they're all gone and we've given them over to their future. We've all heard of the example of how the eagle will do its wings and stir the nest up so that its child, its eaglet, will become uncomfortable in the nest and begin to finally be ready as it flaps its wings in imitation of the mother to get ready to fly. And then that day comes when it pops over to the edge and it takes off and the mother has to watch as it plummets closer and closer and closer to the earth till finally with an unfurling of the wings, the eaglet spreads and begins to soar like it was intended to. But you see, it wouldn't have happened if mom hadn't made it uncomfortable enough for the child to go out and do what that was supposed to do. And so it is with motherhood. We stir the nest through the years, preparing that child or that grandchild to step up and to step out and to do what a human is designed to do. So certainly, we don't do it on our own. We need that a little extra push, and moms, you do that for us. To produce offspring that are healthy and functional, we need that little extra push to attempt those great things. To be encouraged, to be challenged to do what humans were designed to do. And I would say that's to spread our wings and to soar, to live this life to the fullness of God's glory, to put Him first in every area of our life, and to live it to the fullest, as Jesus said, with Him by our side. And moms, you prepare that way. Grandmas, you prepare that way for our children as they launch into their teenage and their adult years to get up and go and to be what God designed them to be and do what He designed them to do. Harry and Ada Mae Day brought their baby Sandra home to a difficult life after birth. The four-room house on the Lazy Bee Ranch in New Mexico and the Arizona border, it didn't have any running water, there was no electricity, there was no school within driving distance. Sandra's intellectual future was very slim. But Harry and Ada Mae were dreamers who didn't allow themselves to be limited by their surroundings. Harry always wanted his daughter to be able to go to Stanford. Because he wasn't able to, he had to come back and take over the family business when his father had died. And so Ada Mae also subscribed to different newspapers and magazines. She began homeschooling Sandra at 4 years old. Well, Sandra finally did go to Stanford and then on to law school and eventually on to become the first woman Supreme Court Justice in the United States. And on the day of her inauguration, the entire Day family was there, and no one was prouder than her mother. So what causes a woman like Sandra Day O'Connor to go so far? Well, certainly intelligence and a lot of inner drive, but much of the credit has to go to a determined little ranch woman sitting in her adobe house at night, reading to her children, hour after hour after hour, committed to encouraging and challenging her children to reach for the stars. And so, moms, we owe you so much. We owe you not only our physical existence, but our very being as a result of your faith, your watch care, your expressions of love, your encouragement to be what God would have us to be. And so that we say thank you. We honor you not only today, but the God whom you serve, giving the glory to Him for your life. So thank you. Thank you for spelling mother. L-O-V-E. We love you, moms. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, as we have seen in Scripture, the great joy that motherhood brings, as well as the challenges, I thank you for each woman here today in the roles that are being played out on the stage of life. I pray, Lord, that each one would walk away from here encouraged and strengthened with resolve to continue on, to maybe come alongside someone who is wrestling or struggling. Father, ultimately, our desire is to give you the glory and to thank you for what you've done in and through us. Moms, do that. And for them, we're grateful. So, Lord, we just commit them to you. Strengthen and guide. Give your peace and comfort. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.